So Psalm 16. The Miktam of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I'll lead us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we hear from you this lunchtime, that we would have open hearts and minds to you. Lord, I pray that you bring us comfort if we need comfort this lunchtime, that we would be directed to you. And Lord, if we do need to be maybe slightly realigned, may your spirit be doing that at work within us as we again come to your word and consider the hope that you bring to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thanks, Chris. Hi, everyone. My name is Kwai Sun, so I work at Saracen and Partners. So my office is right next to St. Paul Cathedral. It will be glad to see everybody, maybe when Aldersgate talk back to meeting physically at the church in September. So I have been a regular at Aldersgate for about 4 years. So if today is your first time joining us, very welcome. So the handout of my talk is in the Zoom chat right now. It contains the passage and it has, you know, the full point that I want to walk us through. So I think, I hope it's not an understatement to say COVID-19 has absolutely changed everything. COVID-19 is definitely one of the defining moments in this generation so far. And I will let historians to decide whether COVID-19 is the worst crisis humanity has faced since World War II. But we can see why some would draw a comparison to World War II. Prime Minister Boris Johnson said, "We must act like any wartime government." And the Secretary General of the United Nations warned that the coronavirus outbreak is the biggest challenge for the world since World War II. For people who are born after World War II like me, this is pretty big and serious, especially since I had survived the first SARS myself in Hong Kong 17 years ago. The scale and impact of the first SARS is nothing like COVID-19. For a lot of us, life would probably never be the same again. If you have loved ones who have passed away because of COVID-19, I'm very sorry for your loss and would like to offer you my condolences. You might have lost your job or your business and wonder how you could get through this crisis. You might really be struggling with lockdown on your own and are suffering from isolation and depression. Human relationships are severely tested by COVID-19. Humans We are social animals. We care for each other. We stay close to each other. In greetings, we hug, we kiss, we shake hands. Social distancing totally changed that, as if it is asking us not to be human. It was reported that in China and America, there was an increase in divorce rate since COVID-19 breakout, possibly because couples are spending too much time together. In times like these, you might wonder what life is about. How can I pull through this? Today, we are looking at a psalm written by David. And in this psalm, we can actually find a very compelling answer here to this question about life. Now, who's David? David was born around 1,000 years BC, and he was the second king of ancient Israel. Under King David, Israel had won many battles against its enemies. In this psalm, King David told us what life is about and how we can live a life to the full. Let's look at the passage together. And that's the first point in my handout. Single-minded focus on God alone. In verse 1, King David said, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." Now, we are not told what kind of danger or enemies David is facing, but we know that David is in trouble and he is asking for help. Now, what happened to David at the end? Let's jump to verse 8 quickly. Let me read. "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure." King David is comforted at the end. So what made him feel comforted and secure? The answer is in verse 1 to 8. And let's dive in. Back to verse 1. When King David looks for assistance, he doesn't really rely on himself or his leaderships. He doesn't ask his advisors either. Is it quite surprising to hear? In our modern societies, presidents and prime ministers, they seek counsel from their cabinet. In companies, the chief executive get advice and strategic direction from the board. If any leader of a country or of a company does not seek advice from his peers in today's modern society, it is outrageous. But for David, it isn't his peers whom he thinks can help him. It is God. Now, let's look at verse 2. "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." The Lord with all capital letters means Yahweh, the God of Israel. The Lord with small letters means Master. King David does not treat God just like a help desk, where when a case is closed, thank God you're done. Instead, he sees God as his master, listening to God and obeying what God says totally on an everyday basis. So why does King David only go to God? Let's look at verse 3 and 4. "As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips." In King David's eyes, there are no other gods. David finds pressures and encouragement in fellow believers. He sees no point following other gods. Whatever it is that we worship in our lives, be it money, power, or career, David believed these will only wound our lives, bringing us pain they will only get worse and worse. So what does it look like to have God as David's master? Let's look at verse 5 to 8. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gave me counsel. In the night, also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. David is the king of Israel, and he does not lack anything. As a king, he possesses wealth, power, and people. David lives in a great palace. He has so many people to serve him. His words are the law of the country. He doesn't need to seek approval from anyone. He doesn't need to make any compromise. It will not be exaggerating to say David is free to do whatever he wants. Yet, he does not value these earthly things. He sees God as the only thing he has. In verse 5 and 6, God is David's chosen portion and his inheritance. In verse 7, David sees God as the source of all wisdom. God is his counselor. David only listened to God. In verse 8, David always put God first in his life. Now, how does David feel when he put God first in his life? And that's the second point in my handout, because he is the only source of security and joy, verse 9 to 11. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You made known to me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David feels great joy and secure. Remember at the very beginning, David was distressed. He was facing danger and he was looking for protection. Having a sole focus on God and a total reliance on God makes David feel joyful and secure. David thinks God is great and he's wonderful. David thinks God is worth putting all your trust in him. Now let's think about us. And that's the third point in handout. By putting our trust in Jesus, we will be with this wonderful God forever. How do you feel about King David's advice on your life? David said, forget about every earthly thing you have. Put your trust in God and you will feel joy and security. You may think, well, I tried and it didn't work and I still feel troubled, so I want to look for something else. Or you might think, well, I don't really believe that God exists and David can have his own view of his own life, and I can have my own view of my own life. After all, David, King David, was born 3,000 years ago, and why does his view matter in 21st century today? There are so many other people in history, apart from King David, who can tell you what life is about. For example, Socrates, Aristotle, and Confucius. And why should I listen to David? And to answer this question, let's look at verse 10 when David spoke about some sort of resurrection. Verse 10, let me read. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. The word Sheol means the underworld for the dead. The word corruption is referring to the bodily decay after your death. David seems to say God will not leave him dead forever and God will bring him alive again. But we know that David did die and his body did decay. So in this psalm, it looks like David might not be talking about himself. So what's going on here? Thankfully, we can find the answer in the New Testament. Psalm 16 was quoted in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 13 when the apostle Peter and Paul, they were giving one of the first sermons on Psalm 16. Both Peter and Paul said David was prophesying Jesus' resurrection here in Psalm 16. In Acts chapter 2, Peter said, God had promised the resurrection of Jesus through David, and Jesus is the Son of God, where we can seek forgiveness of our sin and get God's promises of eternal life. In Acts chapter 13, again, Paul spoke about how God has fulfilled his promise of eternal life through Jesus' resurrection, which is prophesied by David in this psalm. Before we consider the relevancy of this psalm to us today, there's one more idea I would like to explore, which is death. Before COVID-19, I guess most of us didn't think much about death, the inevitable consequences of every human. Death sometimes seems so far away. Life expectancy in the UK has increased from around 70 years in the 1950s to nearly 80 years today, thanks to improvement in nutrition, hygiene, medicine, and healthcare. We have not even reached retirement, let alone thinking about death. And yet, death should be front and center in our mind every day, because of the impact it brings to our life. This is what the Bible talks about death and life, which you will find it in the book of Ecclesiastes. Death makes life meaningless because we cannot take any single thing with us when we die. Whatever we earn in this life, we will be passing them to our children or someone else who didn't work for it. A wise man will die just like a foolish man, and no one will remember you after your death. God sees that death is humanity's biggest problem, not COVID-19. So back to the question of why this psalm is relevant to you and me today. Thinking that David has raised the idea of resurrection in this psalm, both Peter and Paul refer to Jesus' resurrection, and death is humanity's biggest problem. Through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, death is now conquered. Eternal life, precious forevermore, in verse 11 in this psalm, is now possible. For Christians, this is the most wonderful thing. David, through this psalm, help us see who God is and why we should rely on him alone. God is the one David will run to whenever he faces danger. Although David is a king and he has all the possible earthly things he can have, wealth, power, and people, he only chooses God. David only listens to God. Is David wrong to put his trust in God? No. Look at what God gives David. God gives David counsel. God gives David gladness and joy. God gives David security. After all, if you choose anything other than God, it will only ruin your life. As Christians, do we see that God is this great? When our life is good, perhaps we have a good job, a great family, a healthy body. We remember that these goods are from God. Do we start relying on ourselves, thinking that these good things must be my achievement? Do we focus on God single-mindedly, like David in verse 1 to 8? Do we run away from other idols? Are we convinced that these other idols will just destroy us? Do we see God's words as the only source of wisdom. Equally, when we don't think our lives are going well, when we face challenges and hurdles, for example, you might have lost your job or your loved one in COVID. When you think your life will never get better again, when we face danger, whom do we cry to for help? Do we remember we have such a wonderful God who will give us security, gladness, and joy? I hope this psalm is an encouragement to you. No matter what situation you're currently facing in your life at the moment, but most importantly, God has prepared a wonderful eternal life for Christians, a life that is precious forevermore, as described in verse 11. God in this psalm promised the resurrection of Jesus through David, and Jesus did die and resurrect. Christians can now fully put their trust in Jesus, knowing that because of Jesus, we can have this wonderful God forever. If you're not a Christian, perhaps you're looking for meaning in your life at the moment, or perhaps you have never thought about life in this way. I hope this psalm today helped you answer or consider these big questions in life, or at least show you what Jesus offers. David said, everything other than God is just sorrow that will multiply. You might disagree. You simply look around and it's not difficult to see humanity's great progress. Technology has advanced our life, more children are now receiving education, and we haven't had a world war since for 70 years. Yet I hope you can see how fragile these achievements actually are. Just think about COVID-19 at the moment. This recession is already much worse than the great financial crisis in 2009. And just before COVID-19 hit us in March, US unemployment rate was at 50 years low. And now we're at all-time high. And 50 years progress in the labor market, all gone in a month, which will have devastating and far-reaching consequences for the families involved. Lots of happy families were torn apart by COVID-19. Also, remember I mentioned earlier, everyone will die. Death means it doesn't matter if you die as a billionaire or as a beggar. You will carry nothing after you die. As a general rule, when you want to learn something, you want to find a coach who has actually done that something. You want to learn driving, find someone who has actually driven a car to teach you. You won't find me who doesn't know how to drive to teach you. The blind leading the blind is not only hopeless, but dangerous. Likewise, when you want to know about your life, whether there's a life after death, it is better to ask someone who has actually been through life and death, and that's the Lord Jesus. Would you entrust the most important thing in your life, which is the life itself, into the hands of the amateurs other than Jesus? Let's pray as we close. Father, we pray that you will help us see you like how David sees you, that you are great and we can take refuge in you. Thank you for Jesus' death and restoration, that it's now possible to have an eternal relationship with you. Thank you for the gladness, joy, and security that you promised to give to your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.